In this regard, we have taken a look at some world press and news agencies to shed more light on the issue. Please stay with us to hear more about the details. The British daily The Guardian wrote, the chief executive of Shell has said gas shortages across Europe are likely to last for several winters to come, raising the prospect of continued energy rationing as governments across the continent push to develop alternative supplies. Cuts to the supply of Russian gas since its special operation in Ukraine have plunged European countries into a devastating energy crisis, driving up wholesale prices to leave consumers facing huge bills and the highest rates of inflation since 1980s. Speaking at a press conference in Norway recently, Ben van Beurden, the CEO of Shell, said the situation could persist for several years. He said, it may well be that we will have a number of winters where we have to somehow find solutions. Van Beurden said solutions to the energy crisis would have to found through efficiency savings, through rationing, and a very, very quick build out of alternatives. His comments come as Europe's biggest economies brace for a tough winter of soaring inflation and the threat of recession, as record increases in gas and electricity bills pile pressure on households and businesses across the continent. China's Global Times cited international affairs experts as saying the European Union has turned to the United States in order to deal with its worsening energy chaos, making Washington the biggest profiteer of Russia-Ukraine conflict. They said the U.S. has gained the most from the energy crisis by opening up a huge market for American gas suppliers, tightening its grip on Europe and hurting Russia's key export. The United States exported 68% of its LNG sources to Europe during the first 6 months of 2022 compared to only 35% last year. The expert note that the EU, ahead of the winter, will have to ramp up imports of liquefied natural gas LNG from alternative supplies, mostly American LNG companies. According to Lin Boqiang, director of the China Center for Energy Economies Research at Xiamen University, Europe is determined to reduce its energy dependence on Russian gas, therefore accepting the huge difference in gas cost of LNG compared to pipeline due to transport cost, as the world's energy landscape is undergoing a huge restructuring due to geopolitical factors accompanied by soaring prices and supply shortages. Zhao Lijian, spokesperson of China's foreign ministry, blamed the Ukraine conflict and Europe's energy crisis on the United States and commented that the so-called winter sitting across the ocean and profiting from the crisis is Washington. Zhao also said recently that he is aware of reports that the gap between gas prices and the European and US markets is now as much as 10 times a record high. In June, the Russian gas giant Gazprom curtailed its gas supply to Europe by 40%. Then it drastically cut the deliveries through the pipeline to about 20% of its capacity in July. On Wednesday, August 31st, Gazprom suspended natural gas flows via Nord Stream 1 pipeline, saying the stoppage would last for 3 days. However, on Friday, September 2nd, the company said it extended the shutdown over a technical fault, providing no time frame for a reopening. The Euronews website explains more about the issue, saying finance ministers from the G7 have pledged to impose a cap on the price of Russian oil in a bid to limit the Kremlin's revenues and ability to fund its operation in Ukraine, while also curtailing the war's impact on energy prices and inflation. The minister said they would impose the cap by barring insurance or shipping companies from helping Russia sell oil at prices above the set limit. The decision follows discussions at the group summit earlier this year and aims at solving one of the vexing problems with sanctions against Russia. Global oil prices have risen up on fears of restricted supply, which has only fattened the Kremlin's revenues. Meanwhile, skyrocketing energy prices have fed inflation that is squeezing consumers in rich and poor countries alike and threatens to push Europe into recession. In a statement issued by Germany, which chairs the G7 this year, the minister said they confirm our joint political intention to finalize and implement a comprehensive prohibition of services which enable maritime exportation of Russian-origin crude oil and petroleum products globally. They added providing those services would only be allowed if the oil and petroleum products are purchased at or below a price determined by the broad coalition of countries adhering to and implementing the price cap. The statement did not give any proposed figure for a potential price cap and also did not specify when the G7 aims to finalize the plan. It said that we invite all countries to provide input on the price cap's design and to implement this important measure, calling for a broad coalition in order to maximize effectiveness. The Guardian elaborated more on the article and wrote, the French Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne warned companies that energy could be rationed this winter, while Belgium's energy minister said the next 5 to 10 years could be difficult. Speaking alongside the Shell chief executive in Norway, the head of another energy company, Total Energies, Patrick Pouyanné, said Europe's governments and policymakers would have to plan for a future without Russian gas. Europe gas prices have soared in recent weeks, reaching almost 350 euros, about 299 pounds. A megawatt hour recently as countries rush to build up supplies before the winter. Soaring energy prices have helped oil and gas companies to record bumper profits, prompting demands for windfall taxes to help finance emergency support for struggling households and businesses. Shell made record profits of nearly £10 billion between April and June and promised to give shareholders dividends with £6.5 billion. Swedish Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson has sounded the alarm about the EU's energy crisis, warning that a difficult winter and dangerous disruptions are ahead if no action is taken by Europe. Speaking to reporters recently, Andersson said that Sweden was facing the prospect of a war winter because of Europe's energy crunch triggered by Ukraine-Russia conflict. The impact of the conflict was higher prices for gas and electricity and high anxiety over the prospects of a cold winter in Europe.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at mankind through the Quran and through Islam. Now, we've started discussing whether a person should be self-aware or world-aware. And self-awareness is obviously submitting to the fact that they are created, they are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a higher goal and purpose in life, and they need to go on that path and seek it. And those who are world-conscious and world-aware, they only care about the desires and what they can get from this world. We previously mentioned that Mahatma Gandhi, in his book, My Religion, he talks about the Western civilization and how it was able to deprive man from his inner awareness or inner self. I also like to quote one more passage from his book to see how men in the West and the look in the West is much different than that in the Islamic look. He says, the Western civilization has led Westerners towards alcohol, drinks, and sexual affairs. And it's due to the fact that Westerners go more on the track of forgetfulness and the spoiling of their own self, rather than on the way of self-discovery, which is pretty accurate. And this is exactly what the Quran said. Nasullah fa ansahum anfusahum. They forgot Allah, and Allah made them forget themselves. They forgot themselves in the sense that they have a life to go to. They have an afterlife waiting for them. Once a person gets so indulged in this world and he forget himself and where he's going and what he's meant to be doing here, once he crosses over to the other world, he'll find himself empty-handed. He has nothing. And if anything, if he complains why, Allah says, well, you forgot yourself. You forgot where you were. We told you you can come here and do certain things and enjoy certain things. But at the same time, you have a role to play. Yes, you need to enjoy and indulge yourself in the pleasures Allah has created. Even Allah in the Quran says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةُ اللَّهِ أَلَّتِي أَحَلَّ لِعِبَادَهِ. He says, who has forbade that which Allah made lawful for His servants? Allah made many things lawful for me, made many things pleasurable for me. At the same time, there are things I need to be doing. I have other duties. I have other responsibilities. My duty in this world is not to indulge in pleasures and forget everything. Then obviously I have deviated from the path. Now, in Gandhi's words, he says that the Western civilization made people only worry about their own needs in terms of alcohol, drinks, and sexual affairs, and just trying to collect wealth and everything else, and they forgot everything else. And he says most of their great accomplishment or chivalry and even good deeds are actually based on self-oblivion and futility. Their practical supremacy is in discoveries, which is obviously this is what the West pride themselves in, their discoveries, inventions, and productions of implement of war initiates from their fight for man and not their exceptional domination over their own self, which is extremely accurate that when you look at the West, when they want to pride themselves, they pride themselves in the war machine they've created. So when they trying to show the strength shows in how much gunpowder they have and how much people they can kill and how many countries they can conquer. Not in self-domination. They lack at that. Let us take a short break and then we will continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we were saying that in the words of Gandhi, he was saying that the West prides itself in the power of the gun rather than the power to dominate and conquer oneself. If man loses his soul, what would be the use of his conquering the world? Also, this is a quote from Gandhi. He says if a man, you know, tries to go to a war, and he gets killed, soul is lost, what have we achieved and what has that person achieved in this worldly matter? He didn't achieve anything. It is, if anything, someone else achieved, those who give the commands. And he loses his life for nothing. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the question to all the people who died in wars, whether it is World War I, World War II, or even wars pre-Islam, what are people going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What, we killed ourselves for what? Because we're following orders? What is it? Like, I mean, I'm intrigued to see what would they tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are told that we need to conquer the self. We need to conquer our own desires. We need to conquer our own pleasures. Become self-aware. In conquering, we do not say that a person should leave it behind and just go live in a mountain. Rather, control it. Give himself what he needs and obviously not to overdo it, because overdoing it means forgetting yourself meaning forgetting Allah is a different, a new game. We don't want to do that. Then Gandhi continues and he says, there is one reality in the whole world, and that is the knowledge of the self. Whoever knows his own self knows God and his creatures. And this is precisely the words of Amir al-Mu'minin. I'm wondering, maybe Gandhi himself took this from Amir al-Mu'minin because he was very aware of the teachings of the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam and the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam. So he's pretty much quoting Amir al-Mu'minin word for word. And he's saying that whoever knows himself or knows himself, then he will know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever is devoid of such knowledge is devoid of any knowledge. If you're not aware of yourself, you're not aware of Allah, you're not aware of the creation around you, then what knowledge do you have? The knowledge of making more money? The knowledge of knowing how to make nice meals and give yourself a better bed to sleep on? That's not knowledge, is it? Especially in terms of, you know, rising above the animalistic desire that we have. So any knowledge that just concentrates and only focuses on how to make you indulge more and become a bear, then that is definitely not knowledge. But the knowledge that makes you a better human being, more aware of yourself, more aware of your surroundings, more aware of your creator, then that is what we call knowledge. That's why in Islam we say the best knowledge in terms of Islamic knowledge is the theology knowledge, tawheed, monotheism. Why it is the best of knowledges when we talk about tawheed and monotheism? It's because it teaches you about your own creator. It teaches you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It teaches you how to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such knowledge takes its value from the subject, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will leave it here and we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder this maxim on faith in Almighty from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. Fear God and say the truth, even if it will cause you to perish, for your salvation lies in telling the truth. Fear God and leave the wrong, even if it will save you, for your perdition lies in telling the wrong.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Tehran Saray Gallery takes part in a massive art exhibition in South Korea, bringing Iran's leading and emerging artists to the Asian market. Works from six Iranian painters are displayed at the event, where hundreds of galleries account for more than $50 million in sales annually. Frank Smith reports from Seoul.
Seoul's annual global art exhibition has been reinvigorated this year with additional events and a most certain boost in attendance. The Korea International Art Fair continues an evolution that began with its launch back in 2002. This year features 164 galleries and more international exhibitors than ever before. That growing cosmopolitan experience and this region's growth as an art market hub is what brought a premier Iranian gallery to Seoul.
When we started this gallery, we had the big goal to just introduce Middle Eastern artists and Iranian artists to all over the world. So when you want to introduce artists, you cannot forget South Korea and Far East as well.
Sarai had participated in last year's art fair with paintings purchased by local Korean collectors. Expanding on that success at the event and as Iranian artists are growing in international stature, Hassan Saradipour decided to display works from six Iranian artists at this year's event.
Our gallery focuses on the established and emerging artists. This artist, Abbas Nasashamlu, he just wants to show that how the nature and how the human can affect to each other, how this experience he can bring it on the canvas, on the paper.
The massive exhibition featured paintings, although there were various multimedia and sculpture installations. As South Korean living standards have risen, more people have time and money to spend on such events. Their taste in art has also become more sophisticated.
South Korea used to lack art galleries compared to other countries. There was a serious lack of love for this level of culture. However, now these events, I think, create opportunities for more people to gain such appreciation.
For the first time this year, Freeze Art Fair in Seoul exhibited works from 110 galleries, including Picasso, other 20th century masters, and contemporary talents. Frank Smith, Seoul.
An Iranian movie wins the grand prize for the best film in this year's Moscow International Film Festival. In its international debut, No Prior Appointment won the Best Film and the Best Actress awards. The movie is a product of Farabi Cinema Foundation and directed by Behruz Shoaibi in Iran in 2021. It is the story of a girl named Yasaman who returns to Iran from Germany after her father's death. A short stay in her father's hometown and meeting those who know him leads her to a new understanding of humans and the concept of death. The 44th edition of the Moscow International Film Festival was held this year from September 4 to 11. Animals, no matter pets or wild, are more vulnerable to drowning or dying in resulting floods and mudslides. A veterinarian school in Pakistan is offering free treatment for animals injured in the recent devastating floods. The veterinary surgery department of Sindh Agriculture University has set up a makeshift animal hospital as flooding hit humans and animals alike in the surrounding area. Volunteers have been providing anything from surgery to medicine and even ultrasounds to the animals free of cost. People from flood-affected areas can be seen bringing their farm animals such as goats, donkeys, buffaloes, and cows into the center. The worst floods in history have killed an estimated 800,000 farm animals. But there were many heartwarming videos trolling on social media showing people come to rescue animals being stuck hopelessly.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art, which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing tastes and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is underway. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines, and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones, which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
These days, computer technology is impacting every aspect of our life, providing a greater ability to place things, events, and people within context. An Iraqi museum has started using the technology and virtual reality headsets to make exhibits interactive and to bring scenes back to life. Visitors can explore heritage sites destroyed by terrorist groups. Now using thousands of photographs, a group of local engineers have given a virtual rebirth to five historic sites in Mosul and a broader Nineveh province that includes a mosque and its leaning minaret. But this museum brings sites back to life for the people who live in Mosul. Although large parts of the old city remain oceans of debris, authorities are trying to restore historic sites, mosques and churches in Mosul. A private museum along the Tigris River, which opened in mid-June, saw more than 4,000 visitors in its first month. The floating cinema of unknown waters is back in the Italian city of Venice, and spectators are getting buoyant to reach the annual Open Sea Film Festival. On board a rowing boat, a motorboat, gondolas, and whatever capable of floating, spectators sail to the shallows behind the Giudecca Island for this one-of-a-kind cinematic experience. The audience can watch the program from their own boat or a barge with chairs for those without floating transportation. The event consists of a series of screenings, performances and presentations on a floating platform and is held for 12 nights in the Venetian Lagoon.
A new bird species has been discovered on the southernmost islands of the Americas. Biologists are baffled.
Discovering new bird species is very, very difficult and rare because the world has been more focused on observing birds. Therefore, this means the discovery site is unique in the sub-Antarctic zone, on which Chile has important sovereignty. This raises the importance of caring for the environment and unique ecosystems, as these sites will allow us to carry out research on climate change, new species and behaviors.
The tiny bird weighs only 16 grams and has a large beak with black and yellow streaks along its body. Researchers say the animal is a subcategory of a species typically found in the Patagonia forest and inhabits tree trunks. But the newly discovered cousin has surprised scientists as it learned to burrow and live in a harsh tundra climate with bitter temperatures. The Diego Ramirez archipelago, where the bird was found, is an isolated bit of land. It also lacks mammalian predators and woody plants. Biologists and researchers from Chilean universities and various academic centers studied the birds for 6 years before announcing the new species. next moonshot is finally getting closer. NASA says it's ready to test its next-generation rocket ship on an epic launch set for August 29th as part of its mission to send people to the moon.
This new deep space exploration system is going to take us back to the moon and to new science discoveries that we can't even imagine yet. NASA is about to make history with this first flight of the Artemis program.
The mega rocket combines the Space Launch System, or SLS, and the Orion crew capsule it will carry to space. The rocket is due to blast off for a test drive from the U.S. base Kennedy Space Center, sending an empty crew capsule around the moon and back to the Earth. The Artemis 1 test flight is planned to take 6 weeks. It's meant to rigorously stress the systems to determine whether the vehicle is ready to safely carry astronauts. The program aims to establish a long-term lunar colony as a stepping stone to the even more ambitious future voyages that will send people to Mars. The SLS represents the biggest new vertical launch system NASA has built since those flown in the 1960s and 70s. In this story, we tell you about what could be the bright side of climate change. And that's the discovery of dinosaur tracks dating back to 113 million years ago. The tracks were found in the U.S. state of Texas, where drought has dried up parts of Palaxy River. Experts say the tracks belong to a two-legged dinosaur with small arms and weighing 7 tons. They say dinosaurs made the prints as they roamed muddy areas over 100 million years ago. The prints were then covered over with sediment due to a flood. And after that, they turned into limestone, protecting the prints. The experts say the tracks have not been seen either before or in decades. Age does not matter, it's the heart that counts. A Guatemalan female footballer has proved that there is no point one should worry about the age. 57-year-old Alma Salazar has a passion for soccer and takes care of her team's goalpost. Known as Flying Granny, she launches herself and deflects a ball that's looking for the nets. The passion for the sport was born when she was 19 years old. She started training with a men's team where she often found a place as a goalkeeper. Since then, Alma has played for several professional and amateur football clubs. In her room that overlooks a local stadium, Alma keeps the trophies she has won on a table, most of them as the least defeated goalkeeper. Locals praise her as an unbeatable goalkeeper. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The 4-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured 3 major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's Special for You, we present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Almighty Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum and welcome. We're talking about the concept of sacrifice in the view of Islam. I invite you to listen to us. حول الرمال تلفني بل من ورائي واللحد يحكي ظلمة فيها ابتلائي والنور خط كتابه أنسي لقائي أنسي لقائي. Today, Tuesday, is the 9th of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of September, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of verse 27 of chapter Al-Ma'idah from the Holy Quran. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Watlu alayhim naba'a bnai Adam bil haqqi idh qarraba qurbanan fatuqubbila min ahadihima wa lam yutaqabbal min al-akhari qala la'aqtulannaka qala innama yataqabbalu Allahu min al-muttaqin.
And recite to them the story of Adam's two sons in truth, when they both offered a sacrifice to Allah, and it was accepted from one of them, but was not accepted from the other. Said the latter, I will surely kill you. Said the former, indeed, Allah only accepts from the righteous who fear Him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In Islamic literature and in the Torah, it is recorded that Abel was a shepherd and he offered his best lamb as the sacrificial animal. But Cain, who was a farmer, brought the worst part of his agricultural product to sacrifice. Therefore, the main principle is a striving to draw near to Allah, not to simply sacrifice. Whatever the sacrificial thing may be, the criterion of the acceptance of these is piety.
Allah, 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 ma lana mawlan siwa Allah. Allah, 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 ma lana mawlan siwa Allah. Kullama
Islam and sacrifice. The path of Islam cannot be anything other than the path of a struggle, and therefore sacrifice. Is not Islam, one might say, a gift of God? It surely is. Without His help and His enabling hand, we can take no steps on the straight path, the path of Islam. Yet only through our sincere intention and devoted striving can we deserve to receive this most precious gift, to retain it, to grow in it, to derive full benefit from it. The gift, no doubt, is given in His infinite mercy and kindness, but it is not unconditional. If given whether desired or not, and earned or not, it would have become cheap, valueless. This is why the Quran says that Allah guides unto Himself him who turns unto Him. You can find it in chapter 42 of the Holy Quran, verse 13. Turning towards Allah requires both will and effort. It also entails turning away from all false gods. Besides Allah, it is a total change of direction, inner and outer. Progress then depends on striving. Allah says in chapter Al-Ankabut, that is chapter 29 of the Holy Quran, verse 68, those who strive hard in our way, surely we shall guide them onto our path.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the sacrifice and its role in people's lifestyle. Another aspect to be taken into account or to be taken seriously is the type of education someone receives or the type of teachings or lessons and education a person has received. If people have teachers who are themselves exemplary people in terms of showing sacrifice to other people, or for example, when students receive some anecdotes, some real anecdotes of the lives of those people who sacrificed themselves for the life of other people in order to save other people's lives, we find that those reading group of people will in turn, in the future, make those personalities who are ready to sacrifice their own lives in favor of others. Another element is the element of the genetic element, or the element of heredity. We find that some people are by nature, there are people who are ready to sacrifice whatever they might have in hand, for the sake of those people who might be really in dire need of those things. For example, take this example that the infallible imams in whom we believe in Islam, there were people who all of them were descendants of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a personality who sacrificed everything, his whole life, for the sake of directing people to the right path. Now we find that, this element of heredity that the infallible imams had in order to direct people to the right path, this element found expression and became evident in the life and times of all the infallible imams, and even in the non-infallible descendants of the infallible imams, we find that many of them proved to be very great and influential people because of the type of sacrifice that they showed to other people.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain.
From the things to sacrifice for the sake of Allah can be nafs. What does it mean? Be with us. The nafs is our lower self or ego, which causes bad character. The nafs commands us to evil. It wants us to sin. It wants us to argue with others. It wants to win no matter the cost. Ego can easily make us arrogant and selfish. And it can stop us from accepting the truth. If we make the decision to tame our egos for the sake of Allah, He makes the path to self-rectification easy for us. When we take the first step, He comes to welcome us onto the path. The nafs is also the part of us that wants us to fulfill our desires. Allah commands us to give up fulfilling our desires in a haram way and instead commands us to fulfill them in a halal way. Desires can manifest in a variety of different ways and many are permissible within Islam in the right context. So do that which is permissible in moderation and within the boundaries set by Allah. In the month of Safar, and it's the place that we're going to look at one of the biggest sacrifice for Islam, and that is the unforgettable sacrifice in Karbala. To succeed in his mission, it was not enough for Imam al-Hussein to sacrifice just his own life. He needed a critical mass of companions to lay down their lives to generate maximal impact on consciousness. Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, made it abundantly clear that there were no gains to be had, only sacrifices to be made. His message to his encourage came when he received the news of the death of his emissary to Kufa in Iraq, whom he had sent ahead of him at the invitation of that town's resistance. Having pruned the ranks of his companions, Imam Hussein alayhi salam tested those who remained on the eve of tragedy of Karbala. He first appealed to their reason. Yazid was only interested in his head, so they should leave him to his own fate. Next, he relieved them of their social responsibility. He absolved them from the oath of allegiance that they had sworn to him. When all else failed, he protected them from a sense of shame. He put out the light so they could live in the darkness of the night. Virtually all the historians who recorded this incident do not mention that any companion left.
Are we mentioning Imam al-Hussein because he's our relative?
No.
Because we're mentioning him because of his noble character. Because he showed us that even in those worst conditions, in those tragic days, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam still was only thinking about Allah and thinking about the rights of other individuals. And that's why likewise, his father Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, when he was struck in Ramadan while he was doing sujood, ruku' and salah, what did he say? He says, "Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'bah." He says, "I have prevailed." Have you ever heard of somebody that he's killed? He's struck by the sword. He says, "I have won." He should have been told, "No, Ya Ali, you lost because Ibn Muljam killed you." But the scale of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam of winning and losing isn't who dies and who lives. It's who leaves that noble legacy that for thousands of years people will be inspired by, will love, will follow in his footsteps. A legacy filled with morals and ethics and nobility. And that's why when we look at the life of Imam al-Hussein, and it's specifically those final days of his life, we find Imam al-Hussein, he was shining even those last days. Throughout those final days of Karbala and Ashura, he never forgot about the huquq of Allah against him that we spoke about. For example, Salah, amongst the most important of huququllah that we have to maintain is Salah, prayer. You see, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the night of Ashura, he knows tomorrow he's going to be killed. Tomorrow, not only he will be killed, his children, his family members, after that his woman will be taken as slaves. It is not easy, brothers and sisters, for someone like Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Holy Prophet, with so much dignity, to know that his woman will be taken as slaves. Can you think about anything? If you put an average person in such a situation, they'll lose their minds. They'll go crazy because tomorrow is the worst day of that person's life. Al-Imam al-Hussein, the night of Ashura, he's thinking about Salah.
Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.